welcome to The Origin of Things. Episode 26, about a great Indian artist. India is, or was, home to many a great artist. I cannot say that I myself am familiar with too many of them. After all, I am the one who once looked at an M.F. Hussain painting and asked where the rest of it was. Nevertheless, while I might not be an art critic, I certainly can hope to share the story of a young, talented artist whose work I am sure you've seen, even if he's not discussed in the same breath as many other luminaries from the country. Let's just call him Krishna's son, right? Krishna's son. Krishna's son was born in 1954 into a family of not inconsiderable artistic repute. Quickly, the talented boy charmed his immediate friends, and soon word of his skill got around. He was, of course, not a model child, often getting into trouble, but he fit that lovable young Indian rascal boy archetype that has described everyone from Lord Krishna to Virat Kohli. Krishna's son, the Krishna of our story, not the Dwarkish deity. Krishna's son easily found a position befitting his talents and, shall we say, reputation for mischief, and was soon the apple of his company's director's eye. In fact, a mid-70s story exemplifies how much the company's management was besotted by this young talent that had suddenly graced its company, when a team of consultants laid out a new plan that involved removing this young talent from its roles. The consulting firm, who was close to snagging the business, was asked to leave, the meeting ending abruptly then and there. The directors would have none of this. But not everyone shared the starry-eyed management's enthusiasm for Krishna's son. For he would very often be seen in inappropriate attire in an official capacity. Something that might have seemed charming to begin with, but was increasingly out of place as the company grew, so did our not-so-young-anymore man. Finally, even this besotted management couldn't overlook some of the problems. It looked like this was affecting business, and finally had to let the artist, Krishna's son, go, as late as 2006. Krishna's son was hardly ever seen after that, making only a very brief appearance on the occasion of his father's passing, almost a decade later. His sudden sighting brought back many a memory, and many people believing the company made a mistake getting rid of him. Unfortunately for them, the company's profits said otherwise. As well regarded as Krishna's son was, he would always play second fiddle in popular imagination to his elder brother. His elder brother, let's call him Krishna's older son, could not be more different from his mischief-monger sibling. He was silent, observant, always dressed immaculately. But he too was revered for, let's say, totally different reasons. You must be wondering what all this is. Who is Krishna's son? Who is Krishna's older son? And indeed, who is Krishna himself? Well, if you listen to The Origin of Things before, you know that there's some deception somewhere, some creative liberty taken. And at this point, if I may, I'd like to break from the story to tell you a little bit about how I go about finding these stories to sort of like commemorate our comeback. You see, finding an origin story is not very difficult. Every company has one, and it's quite likely that the company or brand you know and love now is nothing like what it was when it first started. So in that sense, it's not difficult to find origin stories. The challenge comes in the deception. If I'm doing a story about a whiskey brand, I can't start off by saying, once upon a time in the highlands of Scotland was a young man who dreamed of making the world's finest single malt. No. I need to take my listener's mind to a place as far removed from the Scottish highlands as possible. I'll try to start the story in India or Silicon Valley, where the listener would least expect things to end with a fine single malt. And then towards the end, the penny starts dropping. The setting that I conjured up was just a ruse. The person I placed emphasis on throughout the story is not indeed the lead protagonist. I take creative liberties, I don't lie, I take creative liberties with respect to describing the characters, but often if you think hard enough, this one small thing that I'm hiding, the thing that eagle-eyed or bat-eared listeners will pick up on. In each story, there's one thing that I desperately hope nobody manages to get. A question that I hope nobody asks. Something that might seem obvious in retrospect, but I move the story along at a fast enough pace, adding more twists or anecdotes or distractions so that people might not have the time to think. And so it is too in this story. I have told you about Krishna and his famous mercurial son, but what have I hidden from you? The obvious thing might be, who is Krishna? Who is this mercurial son? Who is the non-mercurial elder son? But that's too obvious a question. As is, which is the company that he worked for? No. The question is something else. Have you thought of it yet? Well, you have spent a good 7 minutes almost talking about how good a painter this young man, Krishna's son, was. But not once did I tell you any of his famous works. And that's the thing. I never actually said he had famous works of art. I only said he was a famous painter. And hopefully that should give you a clue. The second clue was I tried to mask his father's identity. I called him Krishna's son with a dual objective of not giving away his real name, which you would have all immediately identified, but also masking his father's name. Because his father was a famous, famous man, way more famous than his two sons. I called him Krishna in the story, which was a liberty I took, but his real name, if you're ready, is Rasipuram Krishnaswami Iyer Lakshman, known to the world as R.K. Lakshman. Yes, the two sons that I talked about were not his actual son, Srinivas Lakshman, now a writer for the Times of India. The same paper, by the way, that made his father's cartoons famous, but shall we say more of his creative offspring. You know, one of them, the elder son, the man who had no name but witnessed the history of India from his birth in 1951 to 2015 when his father and creator passed away. As for the second son who we are talking about, well, he worked for a company called Asian Paints till 2006, making only a brief reappearance on their social media profiles on the occasion of his creator's death. The boy who is the most famous painter in India to have never released artwork, but yet was probably responsible for selling more paint than anyone else in history. One of India's most iconic mascots, Gattu. If you like this podcast, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can listen to us and all our shows on the IVM Podcast app or ivmpodcast.com. You can also follow us on social media. We are at IVM Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to reach out to me, that's Chuck_Gopal on Twitter and Chuck of All Trades on Instagram. All links in the show notes of this episode. See you next week.